Come on now. He's the only reason I'm any of that. Thank you. I just want to show you a video real quick, because this is who I want you to know. This is, you are this woman that this young man is going to talk about right now.
You are beautiful. You are smart. You are funny. You are kind. You are unique. You are worthy of love and affection. You are never too much, and you are always enough. You are precious. You are a diamond, a rose, a pearl, the most stunning of all God's creation. You are worth more than you could ever imagine. Worth more than the numbers on the scale, or the hair product you use, or the shoes you wear. More than how many girls wish they were you, or how many guys wish they had you. More than the price tags on your clothes, or the percentage at the top of your math test, or even the number of followers you have on Twitter. Your worth surpasses all earthly things, because in the eyes of the Lord God, you are loved, and you are worth dying for. Regardless of who you think you are, whether you model in a magazine or you model pottery with grandma, whether you're on the hot list or the not list, whether you're head cheerleader or a high school dropout, whether you're Miss Popular or you've never had anyone you could call a friend, whether you love yourself and love your life or you can't stand to look in the mirror and you feel as if everything in your life is falling apart, whether you're such a winner or you feel like the world's biggest failure, regardless of who you think you are, the reality is that you deserve someone who would give up their life for you, because you are powerful and strong and capable. Read about the women in the Bible. Esther, Ruth, Martha, Mary. These women changed the world forever. And inside of you, each and every one of you is a woman with that same power and that same strength and that same world-changing capability. And your responsibility is to find that woman and to set that woman free. This is who you are. And any voices in your mind that try and tell you differently are from the enemy. And the next time you hear names, this is what you say. You say, nuh-uh, not me, Satan. I am a daughter of the living God, cherished, loved, and adored above all things by the Creator of all things, for the glory of Him who is greater than all things. I am awesome. And please, don't you forget it.
Amen. Isn't that powerful? That is exactly what the Lord put in my spirit for you. When God gave me the plan for this year in women's discipleship, the Lord told me, I love my women. My women are very special to me, and they need to know how special they are. They need to know how fearfully and wonderfully they're made. How powerful they are. How capable they are. How amazing they are. And I believe that the Lord wanted that to happen and wants it to happen. And it's going to unfold every time we get together. We're going to do this again in May and then again in August. And every 3 months, we're going to have three, what I'm going to call semesters or whatever, of God speaking into your life by showing you the women in the Bible and who they are and who they became and what they did for God. See, because you're all hard workers and you can do anything. You can do anything. The Women of Victory Outreach are the most hard workers in the world. We just put our mind to it and we do it even if we don't know how. And God teaches us, right? As we just put our hands to the plow. But he wants you to know how important and valuable you are to him. And he wants to build something within you this year. And I don't even know the fullness of it. I don't even know what that's going to look like by the end of the year. All I know is God said, they are fearfully and wonderfully made by me. And they're going to discover how awesome they are. In a humble way. In a humble way, you're going to discover all those things. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word tonight, God. Already your word has been spoken in so many ways, God. Oh, Father, through the worship, through the spoken word, Father. Father, through the beautiful, powerful 5 minutes of fire, through this video, Father. Your word has already been spoken, Father. May we give you our full attention for the rest of what you want to impart. This is our divine moment, a divine appointment with you. You have set aside Monday. You have set aside this day to minister your love to your women, God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tonight we're gonna read about learn about something different about Eve. I'm gonna talk to you about Eve, but most of the time when we talk about Eve, we talk about letting the enemy in, the deception, all those things, and those are all true. She did all that, but we're gonna come from a whole different perspective tonight. We're gonna see how. Just like God intended Eve to be a woman that was going to change the world and the history of the world, he has created you the same way. Yes, we know deception came in, but God turned it around just like he did in our lives. Amen? We're going to see some things about her, and I'm going to read to you some excerpts out of this book that I read years ago, and I actually taught a series on it. And we're going to get a deeper revelation of who we are as women of God. In this fearfully and wonderfully course, we're going to be imparting character studies of women of God. You're going to hear about so many women in the Bible by the end of this year, in the sermonettes, in the preachings, in everything that's displayed. You are going to know by the end of 2018 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? We're going to drive it in by the power of the Holy Spirit because we want you to know how exceptional you are. And wasn't that amazing? I love that video. Alicia reminded me of that video. I had seen it. But here's a young man, a handsome young man. And usually you see young men like that, and they're just womanizers, right? And they take advantage. But here's a young man that's standing up boldly proclaiming what a woman of God is. How fearful and amazing she is, how spectacular she is, and what a great creation, the most beautiful creation that God created was woman. Our desire is to see that as a woman of God, as he's shaping you to fulfill his plan, that you would just fulfill that plan. Amen? Don't miss it. Don't miss a heartbeat. Don't miss a lick. Because every moment with Jesus is a divine appointment. Last week, we were honored to hear from Sister Doty about this amazing woman, Rispa. How many of you had never heard of Rispa before? And the sacrifice that she made to make sure her sons got the proper burial. How she looked like a mad woman, hadn't bathed, hadn't combed her hair in 4 months. She didn't care what she was wearing, what she looked like. All she cared about was making sure that her sons got honored. Just like you and I, we make sure that we do what God has called us to do. Because we're a special breed of women, Victory Outreach. We are a special breed of women. I think about even the way we were raised. All of us pretty much were raised in Albuquerque, right? We were raised in the barrios of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I think about our state. We are one of the poorest states in the nation. We didn't have the education. Some of us didn't have the privilege of getting the education we wanted because we were so distracted by our abuse and our dysfunction in our families. You heard it so beautifully by Dawn Marie, her testimony. And then again, another testimony, and just testimony after testimony of God pulling women out of the pit and just cleaning them up and changing their lives. That's our story. But the hardships, the addictions, the abuses some of you survived. Oh my goodness. I know a woman in this room that survived car crash after car crash, and she's still here with us today. I'm telling you, the enemy had a plan for the women of Albuquerque to destroy our lives. But God had a greater plan because he raised up a ministry called Victory Outreach. He gave us a women's home where women could come and be rescued from darkness. He gave us purpose and a sense of belonging and destiny. He gave us a calling. And now God is shaping us for that calling. You're a survivor. You know that song, I'm a survivor, I'm gonna make it. My granddaughter, Judah, when she was little, that's all. She sang that song, I'm a survivor, I'm gonna make it. I mean, at 2 years old, I'm like, who taught this kid this song? That was her little song she'd go around. And you know, she's 18 years old today. She needed that song. Her life wasn't that easy. She'll be the first to testify. It wasn't an easy life. Her parents got a divorce. She experienced a lot of abuse. But God made her strong through it. Just like he made us strong through everything we went through. I thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. I look back at my own life with myself and my four sisters, and it was only by God's mercy and grace that I survived and that I came out of that. But God knew the plan he had for my life. He knew that one day he wanted me to be the pastor's wife of this church. And so step by step, he worked on my life. Look at the statistics of our city. Every day the news talks about something horrible. Life there is no value in life. When parents can kill a child and bury him, there's no value. When a mom can sit back and watch her little girl be raped, there's no value. When a pimp can pick up prostitutes and treat them like dirt and bury them on the west side, there is no value. And we have to be reminded of this atrocity, not because it's ugly news that you came to hear today, but how blessed you are to be sitting in this room. Because the enemy also had assignments for us, but God said, nope, not today, not today. Not today. No, this one is my daughter. She's going to be raised up to do something great for me. She's going to be set apart to do the work of God. But if you look around, statistics scream that we didn't have a chance, right? But God screams otherwise. What the enemy doesn't realize is that once a sleeping giant or a woman of God awakens, he is in trouble. He is in trouble. The reason I'm a warrior is because I decided a long time ago at 16 years old that I was not going to let the enemy have my life or the life of my children. I refused to let the enemy have my girls. I had them back to back, four children by 21, and I said, no way, devil. I came from a line of four sisters, and you tried to have your way, and you're not going to have your way with my girls. I will fight. I will be crazy. I will be that woman that stands at her post, but that's not going to happen. And I fought for my family. Do you fight for your family? You've got to fight, amen, and God will give you the power to do that. Once that sleeping giant is awakened, the enemy knows that you will not let anything happen to you or your family. From Genesis to Revelations, we see that women were used mightily for God. And that everything that the enemy meant for evil in their lives, God turned it around. Everything. You see, there's something special about you that the enemy doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. He doesn't want you to know the gifts and the callings that are inside your life. He doesn't want you. He did not want Rachel to stand up here one day and give her testimony and be set free. He didn't want that. He tried everything to stop that. But instead, look at God. He rescued her. Now she's on her way to UTC. Isn't that amazing? God has something great. In Joel, the Bible says that we have an anointing for this hour for us women of God. That's found in 2:29-30. Deborah was a mighty politician and a prophetess and a warrior. She was used by God to turn her nation around. Rahab, the harlot, was used by God for a divine plan to take place to stand in the gap. She was a harlot. She was a twilight treasure that God used. And she's written in history as bringing the lineage of Jesus to the earth. JL was an armor bearer to Deborah, and she said, if my mama's not going down, I'm not going down. I'm her back-to-back partner, and I will finish the enemy off. And she did. See, we're a team, girls. We're a team. We're a team of women that are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. And we're going to read about the beautiful creation of woman. For the sake of time, I'm going to read. It says, now the Lord God said, it is not good or beneficial for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary to him. So the Lord God formed out of the ground every animal of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called him, the living creature, that became his name. And the man gave name to all the livestock and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper that was suitable, a companion for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he fashioned, formed into a woman. And he brought her and presented her to man. Then Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. In 131, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. He validated it completely when he made the woman. After everything God created, he said, it's good. He put his stamp of approval after animals were made. It's good. After the land and the sea were separated, it's good. After all of creation was created, he said, it's good. But when he made woman, he said, it is very good. It was a highlight, check mark, exclamation mark. Very good. And Adam said the same thing. God created woman twice refined. See, because Adam was already created, then he took rib and he created woman around that rib. So she was twice refined. So God took his time making Adam. But when he made woman, the Bible says, the interpretation of that word made to be carefully handcrafted. When he made you woman, he knew exactly what you were going to look like. He knew, like it was said earlier, how many hairs would be on your head. He knew what color of eyes you'd have. He knew everything about you. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. You weren't an afterthought. You were an added thought. Come on now. You were an added thought. He said, it's just not complete. Something is missing on this earth. Adam looked at the animals and he said, okay, if that's let's say a giraffe, that's supposed to be my helpmate. I don't know how with that big old long neck we can be pals, but okay. He was trying to figure it out. And then God said, no, that's not going to work. He said, I've got to make something specific. Now, when we talk about woman being made for Adam, we're not talking about, I don't want you to think of it like husband and wife. I want you to get your mind just on you, what you were made. You were made by God perfect. There wasn't anything he missed about you. Amen? He didn't miss anything. He knew exactly what he was doing. Years ago, I shared with you, I read out of this book, I read this book, and I'm going to read some excerpts because it's going to help my message. So I don't want to miss anything. I was going to type some things, and I said, no, I'm just going to read it. So the biblical account of creation, of the creation of the world is fascinating on how God made everything out of nothing and commanded planets, constellations, as well as all kinds of planets, animals into being. But when God created the woman, this was the climax of creation. At the end of each day, except the second and sixth days, God looked at what he had brought into being and declared, it is good. On the second day, he issued no opinion. However, in the sixth day, undoubtedly, he gave him the most joy. It gave him the most joy after making Eve. He pronounced it very good. God did not discriminately rubber stamp each day with words, it is good. Silence on the second day and added objective to the sixth day, simply that he did it through an elevation before giving an opinion. Undoubtedly, the sixth day is the one that gave God the greatest joy. He got extra points when he made you. It goes on to say, He goes on to say in this book, if a man is the crown of God's creation, then women are the embodied jewels on that crown. I can imagine Adam, this is where I talk about the giraffe, shaking his head, and he might have muttered something like this. She's beautiful, her spotted coat is fine, and her neck is wonderful, but I'm afraid I need a ladder to look into her eyes. Or while observing an elephant, at first attracted by its statuous figure, he might have concluded that it was dangerous to live next to someone so big that he might be crushed to death in a moment's notice. The Bible does not tell us why Adam was told to name all of the animals right before Eve was created. However, it's not too far-fetched to speculate that God may have wanted Adam to find out firsthand that no other living creature was capable of the void that he felt. A helpmate for Adam was created. He called her in the book Miss Universe 4000 BC. What was Adam's reaction when he laid eyes on Eve for the first time? Undoubtedly, she was an impeccable woman. There was no sin, therefore its inherent decay had not yet affected the planet. She was absolutely unblemished. Picture Adam's googly eyes coming out of his sleep going, wow! He was speechless. Since Adam was in charge of naming all creatures, he gave her the name woman. After seeing the greatest display of feminine flesh arranged in the most creative pattern, in the best designer of the universe, all he managed to call her was woman. In fact, he created a new word to describe everything she was. She was him plus something else. You are everything I am, he said, plus something else. Isn't that awesome? That's what we call twice refined. Rather than shaping Eve out of the dust, the Lord fashioned her out of his flesh and took bone from Adam and made her twice refined. The difference between fashioning and shaping is huge. As a contrast between a house built by an apprentice carpenter or one built by the best architect. Fashioning reflects a greater level of creativity, and the more refined the technique, we can thus confidently say that women are twice refined. And see, the enemy knows this. He knows that there's some special qualities about you, and that's why he has been after you. He has been after you in more ways than you can probably count. The author of this book, he is a father of four daughters himself. Do you think he studied women? And he has seven granddaughters. Seven granddaughters. And he says in the book, if you get this book and read it, that God intended him to be around a host of women. He intended him to be around a host of women because he wanted him to write this book and to help us understand how amazing. He calls this book Woman, God's Secret Weapon, because as it goes on to say that not just was Eve created in such a spectacular way, but then we also know sin happened, but then God gave her a prophecy, right? He said that she was going to bear children and that she would be in pain when she'd bear those children, but that one day that she would be used to bruise the head of the enemy with her heel. And what that meant, what that prophecy meant, is that one day her lineage would bring forth the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of God. And so you have to know that every time you have been hit, you have to hit harder, because there's a perfect plan that God has for you. There, you are greater than any politician in the world, any queen that was ever made. You are greater than Miss America, Miss Universe, Wonder Woman. Yeah, even though she is just a facade, you're greater than her because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you with excellence just the way he did Eve. You were made in her creation, in her image, in his image. Amen? We think about Sister Julie, a young girl from East L.A. Oh, my goodness, has she been a world shaker and a disciple maker. We think about Sister Dodie, who was here last week. She's from Albuquerque, New Mexico. She is now one of our elders' wives. Sister Doreen, who also became an elder's wife, she just answered the call as Pastor Sonny's daughter and said yes, and then God raised her up. And then she married Pastor Joe, who is now an elder. He also is from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Come on now. And then how about Sister Mitzi Morales? She was a poor migrant farmer's daughter. There are so many women in our ministry. All of us in this room. I'm sure some of us, if we asked about dreams and aspirations and things you dreamed of as a little girl, like me, you probably didn't have many because you couldn't think past your front door. You couldn't think past getting to school and eating lunch because you didn't have food in your fridge at home. But God in his greatness saved us, made us women of God to show us that he had a plan for our lives. I couldn't see past my neighborhood, but now I have traveled the world all because of Jesus, amen, and this beautiful ministry that he placed me in. I would never even have imagined going to the places I've been. I've been to Singapore, just to the airport, but I was there. I've been on a missionary trip to Indonesia and to Philippines. I've been to Mexico, to Canada. I've been to Europe, South Africa. I have been places that only God could have taken me. But it's because I said yes. I said yes to God. And as we say yes to the Lord and yes to what he's created us to be and say yes to all the things he's asking us to do and step out in faith with, you'll be amazed at where he's going to take you. God wants you to begin to step out to reach your destiny. Women's convention's coming. How many of you are going to take that step of faith and just go? Maybe you don't have the money to go even tonight, but you're going to believe God that he's going to get you there. That's a huge step of faith. Believe him. Quit saying I can't afford it and start saying I need to invest in my spiritual walk. Quit allowing fear to keep you from doing all that God's called you to do. See, if you know me, like Linda said, I'm fun, but I'm also very daring. Don't dare me to do anything because I will do it. unless my husband's there to stop me. But I think it's more of the faith that I've learned to walk in. I've learned to walk in this faith that comes only supernaturally. I've learned to walk in this faith that tells me that everything in this word that I can do through Christ. I believe it. I believe that I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, and that everything in this Bible I can do through the power of God. Now, how do you get to that point? You shake the enemy off. Amen? You shake him off of you. Every time he lies to you, you shake him off and you say, no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you are convinced by the power of God's word. There is no doubt within you that you are that woman that God called you to be. You need to be the woman that's set apart, that you're not allowing the enemy to lie to you every time you open your eyes. How many of you remember those days? Every time you opened your eyes, you didn't even want to open your eyes because there was so much to face. But now through the grace of God, we can open our eyes and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are those the first words that come out of your mouth? They should be the first words that come out of your mouth. Your spirit should be singing through the night, my hallelujah belongs to you. Your spirit should be singing all through the night. You should wake up in the morning with a new song in your mouth. That's the encounter that God wants you to have with him, that intimate encounter that you know that you know that you know who your God is. If God says you can do it, then do it. If God says you can be it, then be it. If God says you can, then you can. It's time for us Victory Outreach women in Albuquerque to just start saying no to the culture of this city. The Lord really put that heavy on my heart, that some of us have adapted so much to the culture of this city that it's gotten you in bondage. The culture of this city is poverty. The culture of this city is violence. The culture of this city is fear. The culture of this city is bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife, fighting spirit. We're not supposed to be fighters anymore. We're supposed to be fighters in the spirit, but yet I hear women of God saying, well, if I could just get my hands on them. That's not a woman of God. We don't take care of business like that anymore. Amen. We let God take care of our business. I know we're all fighters. I was a fighter. I'd take out guys. I didn't care who it was. But then God changes it. He changes that around and you become a fighter in the spirit and you face your enemy and you say, I will not put up with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let God turn it around, make you a fighter in the spirit. Don't let your emotions dictate to you. Yesterday, we were blessed to have the Watoto Choir with us. And they were such a blessing. They pulled on the strings of our heart, right? They pulled on them and on our emotions, and because they're precious children. And yes, they're valuable to the kingdom of God. And they moved us, and we gave, and we blessed them, and we bought all their stuff. We housed them. Sister Linda said she felt like she was entertaining angels, and I felt the same way. Oh, my goodness. I had all the singers at my house. I didn't even know they were singers till they got on stage. They said, Auntie Barbara, you're going to see us perform. And I was like, oh, what are you going to perform? We are going to sing. I was like, oh, my gosh. So I was entertaining not just little angels, but talented little angels, right? They were so amazing. But that's the burden. You got a burden yesterday, so you understand what burden feels like. It's not foreign to us. We know what that feels like. God wants us to keep the burden. Keep it burning and burning. He designed you not to carry burdens, amen, but to carry burdens. There's a big difference. See, the enemy wants you to carry all these burdens. He wants you to be weighed down with the pressures of life, with the fears of life, and how am I going to pay my bills, and what am I going to do? And then God wants to give you the burden for souls. God wants to give you the burden for other lives. And how do you do that? You get away from your problems and your thinking and yourself, and you start to pray. When you start to pray, God will put somebody in your spirit. So in the morning, not only should you wake up with the "My hallelujah belongs to you," but you should also wake up with a burden for somebody else. The minute God gives me a burden in my spirit, in this womb, in this woman, I'll pray. If I'm thinking about somebody, I'm going to call them right away. I'm not putting it off anymore. I refuse to waste time. I refuse to be that woman that says, "I'm going to pray for you," and then forgets about it. Amen. We have to be women that are constantly on it, on it, on it. Because you're designed to. You weren't designed to carry these burdens. You were designed to carry these burdens. And I believe when God created woman, He created us with a special place to be able to carry those burdens in our spirit. And not to carry them to keep them, but to carry them to the cross. To be those intercessors and pray and press in and lay those things, to lay our Isaacs down, to lay our burdens down, to pray and to stand in the gap. When was the last time you stood in the gap for someone? Be honest. When was the last time you got your mind off of yourself and pressed in for somebody else? Let me tell you, that's the key to getting closer to God, and that's the key to your prayers being answered. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just something we say. But as you take care of God's needs and God's people, God will take care of yours. I've seen it over and over and over. Tonight, the Lord really wants you to understand that there is a cry within our city. Amen? There's a cry within our church. Do we know each other? Do you know that before this service happens, that is purposely made for you to have fellowship? We keep those doors closed on purpose because we want you to get to know each other from 6 to 6:30. And some of you are saying, "Oh, it doesn't start till 7. We're being intentional about this. We want you to come, get some coffee, talk to somebody you haven't talked to, make a new friend, get to know each other, and then come in and pray together. We're very intentional about everything that we're doing this year because we believe that there's power in numbers. There's power in relationships. Amen? That's when we can really bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. We're blessed women, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. We are blessed women. And even if we don't have money in our pockets or a whole lot of food on the table, my mama taught me, as long as you have beans and potatoes and flour, make some tortillas. That's food. We're not like the children in Uganda that were rescued from the streets because they had nothing. We're blessed. We have nothing to complain about. We have big old giant fridges and big old giant freezers that are also filled to capacity. And if you go to other countries, they have little tiny refrigerators because they eat daily. We eat for months. We are blessed. Tell your neighbor you're blessed. We are blessed. So not only are you fearfully and wonderfully made, but God wants you to begin to discover what's inside you. You have some great, great things. I always say when I'm teaching a class on Wednesdays to a group of young women, and I tell them we're like an onion. And little by little, the Lord's taking off layers. Our class is spiritual cleansing. And I said, every time you come to class, God's going to reveal something new to take off of you. He's going to take things off of you. By the end of this spiritual cleansing, I'm on a mission. I don't want just gang girls. I want gang girls who are cleaned up, filled up, on fire for God, ready to not just do the work of God, but live for Christ, a holy life. Amen? God is separating young women right now for the work of God. He has Katrina separated in a whole other country. Amen? And she's coming home tomorrow. Hallelujah. Actually, tonight at midnight. And we need to celebrate her. She gave 3 months of her life on the mission field. She laid down her single life and said, "I'll go to the mission field." She sacrificed her life, and we're going to celebrate her. In fact, she's the last speaker of the month, so you're going to be blessed. But when she comes home next week, make a big old deal out of it. Amen? Make a big old deal. Let's celebrate her. She did an amazing work for God. And she's not finished. She got challenged to go to the MTC, so she's probably going to go to the Missionary Training Center next. And we're probably going to say goodbye to our little Katrina one day, because she has the mission field is in her blood right now. It is running deep. Amen? It's running deep. And she has a burden for the world now. And that's amazing. So we don't know what God has, but we all know that she answered the call. She believed that she was fearfully and wonderfully made. She believed that God could get her to Amsterdam, that God could provide, and that God would teach her to do what she's called to do. And guess what she did the whole time? She taught kids gang. And guess what she's going to do at this training that we're going to? She's going to do 5 minutes of fire before Sister Julie. Isn't that awesome? Sister Julie is one of our main speakers, and she's doing 5 minutes of fire. When we had our meeting the other day, Sister Jody says, who could give a 5 minute of fire? And I DM'd her on my phone privately, and I said, I have a girl. She's there right now. She's doing missionary work. She's been there 3 months. She loves God, and she's been teaching kids gang the whole time. And she's like, let's put her down. See, I don't think Katrina, she'd be the first to tell you, I don't think she ever believed that she was fearfully and wonderfully made. When she first came to the women's home, she didn't believe that. She was a shy, introverted girl who was messed up and tore up. But little by little, like that onion, she allowed God to begin to peel the layers off of her life. And even though she didn't know exactly what to do out there, God showed her and she was open to it. And that's what happens when you really believe that you are twice refined and that you're amazing and that you're spectacular and that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's not about the outward. You got to go deeper than that. Don't be shallow. Don't be those shallow women that's all they are is about themselves on the outside. But in the inside, they don't care about anything but themselves. We're deeper than that. Amen? We're deeper than that. We're women that have let go of envy. We've let go of jealousy. We've let go of low self-esteem. We've let go of fear. We've let go of strife. We let go of bitterness. We let go of unforgiveness. The spirits of the inner city will not grip us any longer. Don't let them grip you anymore. Take your life back. Take it back. You're worth something. You're more valuable than that. You were created to be the light. You're created to be great. You're created to do something great for God. Three things that I believe God wants you to know. Number one, he wants to reveal himself to you. The creator of the universe wants to get to know you and for you to get to know him in a more intimate way. I can't wrap my mind around that sometimes, that the creator of the universe wants to know me. He already knows me, but he wants me to open my mouth and talk to him. That's what prayer is all about. And then he wants me to get to know him and his word in a deeper, more intimate way. My granddaughter, when she was hearing the kids speak the word of God, she goes, how long does it take to read a Bible, Nana? And I said, well, you know, there's Bible plans and you can read it within a whole year or you can just read it and get through it. I said, but that's not the way it was intended. See, I'm discipling my granddaughter. Every minute I can, I'm discipling her. And I said, but that's not the way God intended it. And she goes, well, what does that mean? She's so smart. I said, he wants to reveal himself through his word. So he gives us little bits at a time as we open our Bible. And she goes, oh, okay, I get it. But she was intrigued by these little kids. She was so intrigued by the word that was coming out of their mouth. It inspired her to get that word in her. And I praise God because she did go to a Christian school when she was younger, and the word is in her. So I asked the Lord, stir up that word. Let it be. Let that. Let reminder of that amazing word that's in her. And he does. Amen. He wants to reveal himself through his word. The second thing is he wants to reveal who you are in him. The creator of the universe wants to unravel everything that the enemy said you were and show you the great things that are inside of you. You don't have to live out your dreams through your children. You know those mamas that live vicariously through their children. They weren't a superstar, but they want their children to be the superstar. And they force them to do and be things that maybe the children don't want to. You don't have to do that. You are an individual, and the dreams you have in you are just as important as the dreams that are in your children. Number three, he wants to reveal his divine plan for you as a woman of God. Our Father in heaven wants to use you in a great way. There is no stopping a woman who puts her trust in God. Can you stand with me tonight? I just want you to stay focused as piano begins to play. I'm not finished, so I want you to just pay attention. 2018 is being called the year of the woman. I don't know if you heard that. Anybody hear that? It's being called the year of the woman. Not because the intentions are godly, but the intentions are ungodly. The intentions are to preach the world's gospel that you are a woman. You're free. You have power to change the world. You have power over those men. You're greater than men. They march to the Capitol by the millions to stand for women's rights. To stand for a child to be killed within a womb, and some of them are moms. To proclaim a world's gospel that they don't need to be abused anymore. And they're right, we don't need to be abused anymore. But that is not our fight, ladies. We don't fight with flesh and blood. We don't fight with human hands. But we fight on our knees through the power of God's word. Because he's given you his word. That is your battle plan. That's the only battle plan you have. There's going to be things in your life, and maybe things that you've already gone through even now, that you have no control over. None whatsoever. Believe me, I'm talking from experience. I have had to lay some things down because I don't have any control. I'm not supposed to. I have had to lay my children down, my grandchildren, my spiritual children, my burdens that I was carrying here. I've had to lay them down and say, I can't, God. I won't. I'm not designed for this. If you say I am fearfully and wonderfully made and I believe it, then I'm going to carry them to the cross. Because it's at the cross and only at the cross that you can lay your burdens down. If we're going to be the women, the game changers, the women that stand in the gap, the women that refuse to let the enemy in the doors of our home. Today I watched something on, I was just flipping through a station, and kids are getting crazy about the drugs. You know, we know that. But they're bringing them into houses and through their good homes. They're sneaking them in teddy bears. They're putting them in little tennis balls. They're cutting them and putting the drugs in there, in their shoes. They showed all the places kids are hiding their drugs from their parents today. And they think they're really smart. But you know, God has given you a discernment. Amen. He's given you a discernment. But the discernment is for one thing and one thing only. That when you discern something that is not right or not of God, That you don't judge it with human judgment, even your own children, but that you say, not on my watch, devil. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. I am a woman of God who is fearfully and wonderfully made, and not on my watch. See, because when you stand in the power of God's word, that's what the enemy is afraid of. That is the ultimate task of us women of God. He is afraid of you, just like he was of Eve. But God said to Eve, you're going to bruise him with your heel. You're going to put him under your feet. The Messiah is going to come through your womb, through the bloodline, and he is going to crush the enemy. God rose women up from the ashes of despair to change the world many times in the Bible. And he's not done. He wants to use you. But first, he wants to get rid of some things. Close your eyes right now. In Genesis 3:15, in the Amplified Version, it says, and I will put enmity and an open hostility between you and the woman, and between you, your seed, and offspring, and hers. He shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise your heel. He shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise your heel. In other words, that fatal blow to the enemy that God wants to raise women up, the warriors that he wants to raise up, if we will get into that place, into the depths of his word and in his spirit, we're going to be used mightily to put the enemy in his place. We're going to be used mightily. But we have to get rid of insecurities. We have to get rid of sexual impurities. We have to let God give us our dignity back. We have to let God turn our fears into faith. We have to believe again. Everybody raise your hands right now. Raise your hands right now. God wants you to know everything that's been said has been said so that you can know how amazing you are. A divine purpose, his divine purpose for your life. It's not a coincidence. You're not a mistake. You're not an afterthought. You were fearfully and wonderfully made with a divine purpose. And you'll never know the fullness of that purpose until you let go of some things. And tonight, God wants to take some things off of you. He wants to take some layers off of you. He wants to prophetically put a word within your spirit that will cause you to rise up every time the enemy screams his lies. This is what God wants for the women in 2018. He doesn't want you to speak out of the side of your neck or horrible things. He wants you to speak his word into existence. There is power in the word of God. Kiti orobo shatarabakaya. Kiti arabasiti orobo kutarabasaya. By the authority of the living God, we break every assignment off of every woman in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everything that the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it for good. Tonight, if there's something you just want to yield over to God and let him just minister to you, I invite you to these altars. They're open right now. Your name, your name.